This is Doug Miller. Are you living or are you just existing from day to day? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue. And one more time, it is our privilege, our distinct and rare, I might say, privilege to be back with you one more time with this Word of God in hand and to be able to speak into this microphone and to know of a surety that what is going out is truth and life and light. Because Jesus said, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus said in his great high priestly prayer the night before he was crucified, praying to his Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now notice, he said at the very end of that little statement there, the last thing he said, I am the life. And we will have more to say about that today because we're going to begin where we ended last time. We got up to the 21st verse of the first chapter of Philippians. And in that verse we read, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So bring your Bibles, come along, open them up to Philippians 1:21, call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far as we can get it out there. And in order to do that, that means that we are utterly and absolutely dependent on the prayers and support of our listeners and interested parties. Please pray for us. Tell people about us. We cannot function without you. And if you, I'm telling you, you need to understand this. To have a faith ministry and to be coming on here week after week and talking about the Bible, if you believe, if you think that the enemy, that old serpent, that snake, will allow us to get by with this without fighting and trying to stop it, you've got another thing coming. And this is why we need to be girded out in an armor of prayer. So pray for us and tell others about us. And we'd love to hear from you. Our mailing address is Dialogue Ministries at Post Office Box 1222 Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Now, I'm going to give you, before we get into the book here, another little address, and this is a web address. We've got a web page that we're going up with. Now, this is a work in progress, let me tell you that. And it's a work that other people are doing, and certainly not me, because technologically, to say I am technologically challenged would be an understatement. To be blunt about it, I'm as dumb as a log. But others are putting this together, and this is, you know, volunteers, and that's, of course, how you work on Dialogue. You know, we don't hire people. People say, let us do this for you, and that's the way it works. The web page, and you want to get this exactly now, www.dialogueministries, all one word, all small letters, .org, okay? Let me give it to you again, www.dialogueministries, all one word, .org. Now, if you'll put that in and Google it, why, it'll come up and you'll see Dialogue Ministries with Doug Miller, and you click on that and you'll see a lovely picture of me, and that's, of course, exciting in the extreme. We have the Hebrews broadcasts on the air, and you can pull them up and listen to them. And we will be putting more material and information on there as we go along. Okay, there you are. Tell others about that, and I'll be announcing this from time to time, probably every week from now on, because that's the way you get information out there. All right, Philippians. I said at the first of this broadcast, are you living or are you merely existing? Now, you know, this business of life with a capital L, of really living, of enjoying life, I don't know who I'm talking to out there or who I might be reaching, but I tell you what I do know. I know that I am a man of varied and wide experience. I know that I have been all over this world, and I have been to five or six different universities, one of them in Germany. And there are very few experiences that you can think of that I haven't had, and many of them are pretty bad. But nevertheless, I'm kind of like the man in Ecclesiastes, I suppose, the preacher there. People said, boy, this is a lot of fun. Try this. And I was just stupid enough in many cases to try it. I remember a man, a young life leader named Bud Carpenter, saying to me when I was a kid, and this was before I was saved, he said, you know, guys like you, I've talked to you and guys like you so many times, and I say to them something about the Lord Jesus and coming to the Lord and being saved, and they will all say to me, now I was about 15 years old when Bud said this to me, they'll all say to me, well, I haven't got time for that right now. I got a lot of living to do and all these kicks that I'm having. And, you know, if I come to Christ, why, it'll take away all my fun. And Carpenter said, you know, you don't know what living is until you have come to the Savior. Now, you know, I came to the Savior and I got saved. And Bud Carpenter was exactly right. And I say this to all of you out there. You don't know what living is until you have been saved. If you were lost, you don't know the freedom to have your sins rolled away and off of you and that great burden lifted off. And to go on not living, you know, Paul wrote in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And, you know, if you have the one indwelling you and living in you by the Holy Spirit who said, I am the life, then you have eternal life, and that life begins right now. It doesn't begin somewhere off after you've died. That life begins right now, and you begin experiencing His life and His grace. And it is liberating. And you will, if you're unsaved, believe me, you get saved, and for the first time in your life on this earth, you will begin to understand what real living is. Now, here is a man, and we saw him. We've been looking at this book of Philippians. Last time we saw him ending on this verse, Philippians 1:21, for to me, to live is Christ. And he goes on and says, and to die is gain. You know, physical death, that is nothing. That merely ushers you into the very presence, face to face, seeing as you have never seen before, living as you have never quite lived before, into the beauties and the glories of heaven. Physical death is a passage for those of us who are saved into glories that we cannot even imagine. You know, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he was quoting from Isaiah, "Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." And he went on and said, "But he has revealed them to us through his Holy Spirit." Now, this is true. To be saved is to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and to know things that you wouldn't otherwise know. You begin to get a glimpse of glory. You begin to get a glimpse and a view of this man, Christ Jesus, the glorified Son of God in heaven. You begin to see and understand things that you never saw and understood before. But to finally die physically, if that's what we do, and to go into his presence is beyond anything that we can imagine here. I'll tell you what, if all of you out there who have friends, loved ones, family members who were saved and you are confident they were saved and they have died and gone on, I want to tell you something. You can grieve and you can sorrow, but don't sorrow as one who has no hope. Don't be like the world out there, because those people who have gone on into the presence of the Lord, if you could talk to them right now, I want to tell you, there is no way in the world they would come back here. You could not get them to come back for anything or any reason. You know, unless the Lord said you go back, I guess they would obey him, but I'm telling you, it's wonderful. And that's what Paul says here. To me, to live is Christ. Or to put it as it says in the Greek, for to me, the life, Christ. The word, little word is not in there in the Greek. Christ is our life, those of us who are saved. But he doesn't just stop it there, does he? To die is gain. Now, here is a man writing who had seen things that you and I have not seen. If you tell me, yes, I was caught up into the third heaven, yes, I saw all this wonderful stuff, I'm going to tell you something very frankly. You need to tell that to someone else. I think you've got some problems. I don't know what you've experienced, but what you've experienced and what Paul the Apostle experienced are two different things. You go back and read in 2 Corinthians, and Paul lays it out very plainly there. If you just want to take a look at this on your own time, just write down 2 Corinthians 12 and begin with verse 1 and read down what Paul says. He says, I knew a man in Christ. This is to the Corinthians now that he's writing. And he doesn't, he says, above 14 years ago. Now, he was writing to the Corinthians in about, scholars figure this to be about perhaps 60 A.D., about 60 A.D. So you figure this, and you're back into about 46, aren't you? A.D., not long after Paul was saved, something happened to him, and it's something that he couldn't talk about. He was forbidden to talk about it. Now, a friend of mine, who was for many years the pastor at Metropolitan Baptist here, Dave Cotton, and others have made this observation as well. Dave always says that, you know, Paul was forbidden to tell anything about what he saw because, after all, we are still here on this earth, and God wants us here on this earth. He wants us here or he'd take us home. And as long as we are still here, our business is here. And he doesn't want us to be so heavenly minded that we're of no earthly good. Another friend of mine always says, you know, if we could see what Paul said, it's a wonder Paul didn't suicide. Now, I don't know, you know, I hope I stated Dave's position correctly there. If I didn't, I'm sure he'll tell me about it. But look, Paul was forbidden, go back and read in 2 Corinthians 12 again, to tell about what he saw. He said, I saw things that they are it's unlawful to utter. These things that I saw. But we know one thing, whatever it was so magnificent, so wonderful. Paul says, I don't know if I was in the body or out, but I was caught up. Now, it is assumed that probably this experience was when he was stoned in Philippi and left for dead after his experience there. And this may have been. I don't know. But I know this. He said, I can't tell you about it. It was so wonderful. But I am sure that writing sometime later, about 4 years later, so this would have made it, roughly 18 years after this experience, that when he says, and to die is gain, I'm sure that he had this in mind. He knew what was going to happen. He knew where he was going. And he says, in fact, he goes on here and says, He says, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. For what I shall choose, I do not know. I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt the two. I'll bet he was. Having a desire and depart to be with Christ, which is far better, or literally in the Greek, palo, very better, very better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Now, let me say a few words about this. I am in a strait. I'm between two positions here, says Paul. I know that I need to be here for you. I know that there are things I need to do on this earth right now. I know that my ministry is not yet finished. And therefore, you know, it is better for you that I be here. But my desire, frankly, he says, and personally, is to depart and be with Christ. Now, this word depart here, interesting little word in the Greek, very interesting word. And it is a military word, or perhaps better spoken, it's a sailor's word, a nautical term. The word actually in Greek is analousai. Analousai. It was a word which meant to strike camp. You take down the tents, you fold up the gear, you move on. Or to the sailors, think about this one. You know, you haul up the anchor, you heave in the anchor. Heave short, handsome to the cat head. Single up on all lines, fore and aft. Raise the sail. Catch the wind, and you shout, headed for home. Now, in my younger and more vulnerable years, I was a sailor in the Navy, and all of you who've ever had this experience of being out at sea for a long time, you know what it is when you're homeward bound, heading home. And this is what Paul's talking about here, and this is the word he uses for depart. I'm in a strait betwixt the two. Far better to depart and be with Christ. However, isn't it wonderful that there have been people like Paul around who were willing to lay down their lives, to give their lives for the brethren? And when I say lay down the life, I don't mean necessarily die. As a matter of fact, when the Lord Jesus Christ in the upper room, same night before he was crucified, same night he prayed the great intercessory prayer. You can read of it in John's Gospel. Very familiar passage. He said, a greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do whatever I command you. Now, it's always assumed that when he said lay down his life, he meant dying. Well, that may have been part of it, but that's not the whole thing. The word for lay down there is a word, the Greek word is tithemi, which it means to place something somewhere. And the idea is you put it down and you take your hands off it. You have lost control of that. Laying down of the life means it is no longer mine. I give it up. I give it up, as the Lord Jesus said, for my friends. We see Paul here saying, I give it up for you. If it were me, if it were my choice, I'd be gone. I'd be out of here. But I have laid my life. I've put my life on the line, and I've put it down, and it's no longer my life. My life belongs to the Lord. And that is why he says here, having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Wow. I tell you what. Sometimes I read this, and no matter how often I've read these things, and I've read this many times, many of you out there have read these things many times, but no matter how often you read them, the more you read them, the more refreshing they are, the more invigorating they are, the more excited you get about them, to know that there are people like this in the world, you know. I began, and we're getting close to being out of time here, so let me kind of begin to wrap up. I began by asking, are you living or are you only existing? You know, Christ's life, to be here as Christ was here, is to be a servant. Jesus said, the Son of Man is among you as one who serves. He came as a bond slave and put his life on the line, and he served, and he served for us. And you know, you look at a guy like Paul here. Thank God that there's a man, or there are men and women out there, even now, in the vein of Paul, who are willing to put their lives on the line, to lay their lives down for others. I've talked about a lot of my friends on here, people that I've known over the years. And, you know, I look back at how fruitful their lives were for the Lord. And many of them have gone on home now. I mentioned Bud Carpenter earlier. And you know, a guy like that, he didn't have to be in Young Life, spending his time with kids, you know, living by faith and sometimes even living hand to mouth out there. But he did it for love of the Lord and for love of people. And I tell you what, that man's life made a difference to this guy's life. And I can name others. I know a friend of mine, Ellie Wassum. She's long since gone home to be with the Lord. But Ellie was one of these people. She wanted to be a missionary to Africa. That was her big hope. That was her desire. And when she got out of college and got ready to go, the mission would not send her to Africa because she was very overweight. And they just thought she was too unhealthy. So Ellie went into youth work. Became a youth director. And Ellie, I met Ellie and I encountered Ellie about the same time Bud Carpenter was talking to me. And I want to tell you, that woman, being around her, changed my life because she had a life put on the line and being used for the Lord. Some of you out there are already, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because you labor on for the Lord. And you don't perhaps have any way of knowing what you're doing or the good you're doing. And you won't know it till you get home in heaven. Some of you are living lives totally for yourselves. And your lives are wrecked. And that's the truth. Why not hand your lives, all of you, over to Christ and find out what real living is? This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.